Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up, where you can
join serial dater Phil.
That's me. And dating detoxer Liz.
That's me. Welcome to the world of online dating.
What can you expect in the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast?
Dating do's, don'ts and disasters.
What we and our guests would gladly chuck in the 2020 dating bin to be gone forever.
What real people really think about those tricky dating dilemmas.
Awesome dating trivia. You'll never know when it'll come in handy for that pub quiz.
Top tips and tricks from our awesome guest experts, who luckily know a little more about dating than we do.
So if you've ever had a dating disaster,
ignore the red flags.
If your dating life's less successful than that man who wore Crocs on the first date,
then you're in the right place. Do we know what we're talking about? No! Our dating lives are both utter shite. So join us as we talk all things dating. The good, the bad, and the... Sorry, there's just no spark. Hello and welcome to the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast. I'm Liz, he's Phil, and today we are talking about first date etiquette. So how do we behave on a first date? How do we make a first date go well? What are the tips and tricks for a successful first date? And actually, are there any rules about dating etiquette? So, Phil, what's on the agenda for today? Talk to me. What is your headline feeling about dating etiquette? Because I feel like you might have something to say on this topic.
What about dating etiquette? Mm-hmm. About who pays and where to go, what to do? I mean, I've had hundreds of dates under my belt now, so I think I'm quite experienced of this. But hey, we haven't started the show the way we normally do. How's your week been, even though I spoke to you earlier?
Well, it has actually been great. About 20 minutes ago, before recording this, Phil and I were on the radio, live on the radio, both absolutely wetting ourselves with nerves, but it was really cool. It was BBC Radio Nottingham, and we did a little segment, about 10 minutes, just having a chat about the podcast, so that was awesome fun. And the rest of my week has been not quite so good, but I'm going to ignore it and then just focus on that, the highlight. How's yours been?
My week, it was bank holiday, wasn't it? So I'm still lost in what day it is. I'm like, what day is it today? it's been good. It has been good. I had my son all weekend, so we went on loads of adventures and had loads of fun. And then it's just been work. So, and then obviously being on the radio.
Indeed. I forgot it was bank holiday. Isn't it weird how even after like only being back at work for a couple of days, you like completely forget that the bank holiday even happened. But how nice was it to just chill out? I had some barbecues. I drank too much alcohol. It was really nice.
Where was my invite?
next time, Phil.
Next time. Right, dating etiquette. Let's start with... Should we start with where to go on a first date?
Yeah.
Because I found this quite interesting with what our listeners, well, followers, because they're not all listeners, found that out, but what they said about. So we asked our followers on Instagram about where they think the best first date would be, and the options were non-alcoholic drinks, such as tea, coffee, you know, quick drink. What you're drinking right now, alcoholic drinks or dinner, or finally an activity of some kind. So what do you think topped the table?
I'm going to say that a lot of people will have gone for alcoholic drinks, because I feel like if you're nervous on a first date, having a drink probably for a lot of people helps kind of loosen things up a little bit.
Okay, put it in your top four.
I'm going
to
say number one, alcoholic drinks. Number two, activity, although I don't think I agree with this. Number three, non-alcoholic drinks. Number four, dinner.
Okay, so you got three and four right, but two and three is the opposite. A lot of people said activity on a first date.
Really? For top choice?
For top choice for a first date,
How do you feel about that?
I've done it before. And it depends on the activity, I feel. I mean, like, I've done Go Ape as a first date before.
Do you even get to talk? Not really.
Not really. No, no. So you don't really get to know the person on an activity, I don't think, because you are too busy focusing on that activity. But saying that, I heard once when people do activities, it does kind of picture you doing more activities together.
Okay, so it like starts you off on the right foot.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether there's like a bonding thing, you know, like almost like a team building thing where you've done a thing together and then you feel connected because of that shared experience. I don't know how, I don't know if I'm on board with it for a first date. Reason being, like, I don't take myself particularly seriously. I'm quite happy to have a laugh at myself. But I think I would feel so self-conscious doing something, unless I knew I was good at it, doing something new or something that's an activity in front of something I haven't met before, I think kind of fills me a little bit with dread. Like, if it's somebody that I've met a couple of times and I know I could have a laugh with, probably be different. But, like, I need to confess to you, I'm the worst person at hand-eye coordination, right? I cannot catch a ball. I literally don't take me to something like crazy golf, because you will never ever get round, and you will literally wonder how I managed to live my life because my coordination is that bad.
What have we got coming up this month, Liz?
I know, and I did warn you, but Phil and I are going to crazy golf together. But like, yeah, this really exciting version of crazy golf. But you will literally be like, how does this woman actually function in everyday life? And so that is fine, like, because I know that me and you will have a laugh about it and you'll take the piss and it'll be fine. But I don't want to be taken the piss out of by somebody on a first date. Like, that's not how I want a relationship to begin. So so for me, like, something that is less exposing, I think, or has less likelihood of making me feel self-conscious would be better. Like a hike or a wild swim or something, fine, because I can do those things. But mm-hmm. Yeah, other things maybe not so much.
No. So for me, it is pretty much non-alcoholic drink or alcoholic drinks for first dates for me. Mm-hmm. I feel that they're probably the best choices for me, because you sit there across from somebody and chat to them. You kind of figure out how, because let's face it, if you eventually get into a relationship with someone, you're going to be sat with them eventually, possibly in a room watching Netflix doing nothing. So if you can get on doing nothing like that, then the chances that you get on doing something are a lot higher, you know, and you get to know them a bit more.
That's true, but I also do think that maybe it depends what kind of person you are, because you and I obviously can chat for England. That
really?
That's why we have a podcast. And so I think for both you and I, we probably have a fair idea that making conversation with somebody probably won't be that hard. But I'm thinking about other people who are maybe less comfortable making conversation. They probably feel about sitting having a drink how I feel about doing an activity, which is like, yeah, I don't know if I can sit opposite a stranger and make conversation. And actually, maybe for them, they would be more able to make conversation and create that dynamic when they're doing something and the pressure isn't on for them to kind of talk and perform in that way.
Yeah, I suppose it's different for everyone, depending on whether you can talk like we can or whether you find communication a little bit difficult. So yeah, no, so that kind of like rolls nicely on to the next point of who pays.
This is a Liz soapbox moment and I can't make it stop.
Get on that box.
I feel really strongly about this, and I know that we talked about it a little bit in one of the previous episodes, so I'm gonna try and be brief, but I really feel very uncomfortable about the tradition that the man pays or is expected to pay. Like, I am a diehard feminist, and for me, the idea that a man still pays is like the last shred of inequality crap. I mean, not the last shred, clearly there are other major issues like the gender pay gap, for example. But for me, I feel like as a woman, I can't say I want equality and then still expect a man to pay. Like, I earn my own money. I look after myself. I'm not looking for a provider. I'm not looking for somebody to pay my way because I look after myself. I'm looking for a partner who's an equal, and I don't want to feel like I'm sponging off somebody. And I actually find it quite rude when a man is very insistent about paying. It makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Okay, so we asked our followers, and there was well over 100 people that answered these, which I'm like, wow.
That's amazing.
Do we still think when talking about a man and a woman dating that a man should pay? Now, what percentage yes, what percentage no?
I'm going to say about 60% said yes.
What, that a man should pay?
Because I think it's still a really widely held...
You need more faith. There was 23% people said yes.
Okay,
well, 77% said no.
Thing is, I don't feel like that is played out in my experience. Because in my experience of dating, the man is always really fucking insistent about paying. And it drives me mental. So it's all well and good for people to say the man shouldn't pay. But if men are still insisting on paying, clearly something's not working.
I mean, I always go, I'm going to pay. You know, because I don't know, it goes back to that point of me asking somebody on a date. Okay, so if I ask somebody, I'm asking someone to come on a date with me, so therefore I kind of feel I should pay.
Okay, so theoretically, if you literally ask someone out, say, do you want to go on a date with me, and then if you pick the location, then maybe maybe I can understand how you'd feel an expectation to pay, because they, if, you know, if you go somewhere really nice for dinner, they didn't pick that. But at the same time, I feel like nowadays with dating, it tends to be a mutual decision that you like, hey, so we're going to meet up. Yeah, cool. Like, and it's less like, well, you go out with me. So I kind of feel like that, I don't know, being asked out thing doesn't stand. And to be fair, a massive part of whether I would let a guy pay is to do with how I perceive his general approach to me and to women. Because if I feel like he's just wants to treat me as just being generous, not in a man woman I'll pay because I'm the man kind of way, and like he would be likely to let me pay in the future, then it's not such a big deal. But if I feel like it's coming from a the man should pay place, I'm much more likely to get into a row about it. But also, there's a massive thing for me about I will never let somebody pay if I don't want to see them again. Because I have experienced this myself, and I know other women have experienced this, where a guy pays on a date, the woman says she doesn't want to see them again, and the man's like, fine, fuck you, you owe me 40 quid.
Yes, people have actually sent us...
This happened so many times.
People have sent us, like, the actual pay requests from people. They've literally gone...
Happens all the time.
I offered to pay half, and they basically turned it down, and then afterwards I said no to a second date. Now, I want to revert back to that whole man should pay scenario, because I spoke to somebody about this. It's funny because they brought up the fact of equal pay, and they said, while women get paid less, men should pay.
But that's not true. I know that I've been on multiple dates with people who earn less than I do, and they still wanted to pay. So surely it's just that rule is the person who earns more should pay, no? Because it's not universally true that every woman earns less than every man.
I just wanted to put that point across as that's what somebody said.
And I have heard that argument before, that women are like, well, until we get equal pay, we've got to like enjoy some of the benefits of men getting paid more. But I just feel like it's reinforcing the lack of equality problem. And what I do feel like, just going back to this thing about getting a payment request or a you owe me X, I feel like for me that, I mean, obviously if you've said that you don't want to see them again, that's kind of it anyway. But there is a massive problem for me in society in general about conditional generosity or conditional respect, i.e. I will be generous and pay while you are still making out that you like me, but the second that you say that you don't like me, my generosity and my respect for you and my willingness to treat you with respect is gone, and now you owe me 40 quid.
And it's the same, not just to do with paying, but in general, you know, I've had so many occasions where a guy is like, oh, nice, 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 I'm a really nice guy, blah, 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 really pleasant. And as soon as you say that, you know, maybe you don't want to see them, or if they've been maybe making you feel slightly uncomfortable, they become this, like, venomous person. And you think, oh, okay, so you being nice and respectful was conditional on my being compliant. And that's what the pay situation is for me, is I don't want somebody's generosity to be dependent on my compliance.
No, not at all. It's that whole thing why they're getting something out of it, or they think they're going to get something out of it. They're acting nice, but as soon as they don't, it's like, no, you owe me this. Nobody owes anyone anything. If you offered to pay, somebody refused it, then simple as.
Can you answer this?
So this segment is called Back to the Questions, but it's only me and Liz, so it's just us talking about the same things we were talking about before, but we just needed to split it up with a segment. So if you needed a toilet break, too late.
We did also ask the question, on a first date, should you split the bill? How many percent said yes, how many said no?
Well, I'm really thrown by that last statistic that so many people said that guys shouldn't pay.
Yeah, this confuses it even more.
How many people said you should split the bill?
Yeah.
70%?
80% and 20% said no, but yet 23% said yes, a man should pay, whereas 77% said no.
I feel like I need some charts. I need to draw like a Venn diagram or a bar chart or something.
And see what's going on. So people said that you should split the bill, and then we went on to ask, if one person pays for the first date, should the other person pay for the second date?
Yeah, I feel like that's polite. And actually, that is something that I have used before, not used, but used as a conversational start point. So for example, if I'm on a date with a guy that I like and would like to see again, mm-hmm. and he says, let me pay, and I'm like, no, let's split it, and he says, no, I'd really like to pay, I'll be like, okay, cool, well, I'll get the next one, which is my way of saying I would like to see you again.
That works. I mean, the other thing is, if you go out for alcoholic drinks and you aren't driving, like, if you're not driving, like, one person can go to the bar, get the first drink, and then, you know, you can carry it on like that. Now, do you offer to pay?
Always.
I know you offer to pay.
Always.
So but, what like, percentage?
With, like, such determination. Well, I think that 100% of people would say that they offer to pay. Or very
97%. Yeah. So there was 3% that said, no, they don't
said
offer.
Said they don't offer.
No, I think a couple of people did message me to say that they pressed the wrong buttons. So it may be on that question.
Okay.
So here's a question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a scenario out there.
Okay.
So basically, somebody comes to you, and when you're dating, so next year.
Cast your mind into the future when I can date again.
Somebody comes to you and gives you an either-or situation, yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They say, right, we could either go for, like, a couple of drinks here, or we could go on an activity, like go ape, yeah? Now, I know your answer already, but which one would you choose, and then who pays for what?
Yeah, I think I would choose drinks, because I feel mm-hmm. like that is a good... Like, I don't want to...
No, not the first date, sorry. This is a few dates further down the line. Yeah.
Well, I feel like, as you said, if it's drinks, then you can kind of, like, maybe do rounds. Not that it's quite that easy at the moment with table service, but it's a bit easier to split it. Although, also, fair point, you know, if a guy's drinking beer and I'm having a glass of wine, I feel a bit harsh on him if he then pays and every one of my drinks costs three of his, but hopefully he's drinking faster than me anyway. I feel like with something like an activity, you tend to be able to work it that maybe one person pays for the activity and the other person pays for, like, if you have some drinks or some food afterwards or ice cream or something. Like, and I feel like even if the amounts that you pay aren't equal, both getting your cardio phone out says something about the relationship and starts you off on a good foot. I feel like if it's constantly one person putting their hand in their pocket and the other person being like, oh, thanks, that for me doesn't start the relationship up off on equal footing.
Yeah, I've had this before where I dated somebody and every single date, not one offer. And literally it was like paying for something. Then we went somewhere. I paid for it. And then it got to the point and I was like, listen, I don't think we'll work. And they were like, why? And I said, because you haven't even offered to pay for anything. We've been on like five dates and you've never even
said, not about, let me pay. It's not about the money. No. I don't think it's about the attitude and the expectation that you'll just pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what annoys me. Do you know what? If somebody gets their card out or gives me their card to go pay for something when we could go back up to the bar, I would appreciate the offer of them giving me the card, but I would still pay for it.
Yeah, know? But you know, at least that they would have been willing to. And I think it's also different. Like, okay, say hypothetically, you start dating somebody and they're currently out of work, so you know that their financial situation is tricky, and maybe you suggest a date and they're like, oh, I don't think that's in my budget at the moment. Fine. In which case you might say, don't worry, I'd really like to treat you. And that that might create a hopefully temporary dynamic of one person paying more because of the particular financial situation at that time. But I think the dynamic in terms of how you relate to each other of one person paying isn't very, for me, wouldn't be what I would look for.
So how I look at it and how I think everyone should look at it is always go on a date with the intention of having to pay half. Yeah. If you always go with that intention, if they suggest somewhere that's really expensive, really extravagant, yeah, and you can't afford it, just say, listen, do you fancy doing coffees instead or something
cheaper? Can we go to Nando's?
Yeah, yeah, because the thing is, it may be the I want to impress you stage by taking you to these fancy places and everything like that, but or it may be their lifestyle, but it's whether it carries on or not after like you get into a relationship.
There's also, there is nothing more stressful, you know, than when you go to a nice restaurant and you look at the menu and you think, oh shit, I can't afford anything on here. Do you remember that episode of Friends where they go out for somebody, I think it's Monica's birthday, or Monica gets a promotion, and there are those of them that earn quite well and there are those who don't earn very much, and I think Rachel orders a side salad and Phoebe orders some water, and there's like this real division between the group because of the respective earnings. And there's nothing more stressful than being in a restaurant and thinking, crap, what is the cheapest thing I can order here? Mm-hmm. And the other person being like, let's have champagne and lobster.
Let's split.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. And I think there is just something about needing to start the relationship off from a point of honesty and being able to say, hey, look, this is not really doable for me right now. Because also, if you do these really extravagant things, I totally get your point from earlier about, like, at some point you're going to get to a point in the relationship where you just need to go and drive to your grandparents' house and buy a Starbucks on the way. Like, life is not always going to be this big, like, get dressed up, put on your eyelashes, go out for a night on the town. Like, at some point your relationship is going to become a jeans and t-shirt type of relationship, because that's just how life is. And I feel like while I don't want to, like, you know, I'm not going on a first date in my joggers, but at the same time, if you only get to know each other in these very kind of flashy, impressive circumstances, can you then relate to each other when you've just woken up in the morning and you haven't got any makeup on?
Yeah, and draw down the side of your face. And
I mean, I don't draw, but it's nice to know that you do.
I never said me.
to be fair, first thing in the morning, I'm wearing like these big, thick milk bottle glasses and my retainers, so it's very attractive.
I mean, I wake up like this.
Do you now?
Yep.
This is why I have to stay single, Phil. It's because I can't possibly imagine anybody seeing me in the morning and getting away alive.
So going back to your point earlier about, if you don't want to see the person again, would you pay or split the bill? What percentage?
70.
89 said yes.
Okay.
11 said no. So yeah, so about 11 people roughly.
I have this great dating disaster, by the way, from one of my friends.
Can I
come back?
Yes, because I have no dating disasters. Okay. I've got something for the bin. Actually, I got two things for the bin because I want to put something in. But,
wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll save it.
Save it. So do you take into consideration if someone is nervous on the first date?
I think most people would say yes.
92%. Now, this is a big thing for me. I had a date during lockdown. And do you know what? We spoke really well on the phone. We chatted. We video called. Everything like that. And it was awesome. It felt like, do you know what? This could go somewhere. And then we met. And it was probably one of the first dates that I had since being locked in my home 24/7. And I was nervous. And that for me is weird because I don't really get nervous, apart from being on the radio today. And I just struggled massively.
So what are you like when you're nervous? What happens to you? Do you talk more? Do you talk less?
Less, which you can't imagine. I mean, that might be a normal rate.
So that would bring you into the normal range of talkative.
No, I mean, I literally, my mind just goes blank and I started, like, we got coffee and I started shaking and I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm not used to this. And I don't know whether it was the lockdown or because there was so much pressure on it, because it was like, oh, we've been talking for this long, it's been going great and everything like that, or what. But then at the end, you know, we said goodbye, everything like that. And I turned around and said, listen, that's not normally me. I was nervous, like really, really nervous. And I don't know what went on. And I said, would you, you know, do you fancy having a second date? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh.
Because
you didn't see me in my true me kind of thing. It was like the nerves. So, yeah. But that leads on to...
It is hard, though, isn't it? Because I answered, yes, I do take it into account. And I would like to think that I do. But at the same time, if you didn't feel... You know, if it didn't do much for you, like, how do you make the choice about whether that was because of nerves or because you just didn't connect? You know?
Yeah.
It's a hard call, isn't it?
I do get that because, yeah, it is. It's did you find that person attractive? Were their nerves part of that not being attracted to them? Or would it have been different if they were confident and they use yourself? And it is a hard one, but... 92% of people said that they would give someone a second date if they were nervous, to see if it was better. So give them a second chance.
Restores my faith in humanity. Not necessarily in myself, but definitely in humanity.
I mean, that person that didn't give me a second date obviously wasn't part of that poll.
Obviously not.
So we've covered about who pays. I think it's just on... Well, we have for now. We will go back to it. Because I might have a little soapbox rant. But now we're going to move on to the bit about ghosting.
Oh, God.
Because, yeah. So we asked, in the past 6 months, have you ever ghosted someone after a date? How many do you think I have?
25%, I'm going to go for.
Those have ghosted?
Yeah.
So close, 27.
Oh, that's a good guess, huh?
Yes. Now, I just want to follow on to this, because I have a theory. I have a theory that I want to bring out about ghosting.
Okay.
And it's a bit of an analogy with food, you know.
Love it. Love a food analogy.
So, have you ever had a bad or angry response when you said you didn't want a second date? How many people said yes?
Most, I'm going to say at least 80%.
56%.
Oh, really?
So not as many as you thought.
What lucky 44, is that right?
44%. 44%, yes.
Mental math. Yeah, we've got maths down. Yeah, so, I mean, lucky people.
That leads me into my analogy.
Okay.
So, here we go. You've got a favourite restaurant that you go to, yeah? Mm-hmm. You've got a favourite dish that you always order. You go to that restaurant, you have that dish. The dish is bad, yeah? So you're like, okay, that's a one-off. Let's go back again. So you go back again, have the dish is bad again. And then you keep going back, and then the dish is really bad. It's going to get to the point where you're not going to go there, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So in regards to ghosting, this is on... basically the point of view of a woman that I'm getting. Because ghosting is bad, but you know, I've got side for both of it. So if a woman basically says to somebody, do you know what, there's just no spark, yeah? Mm-hmm. And they get an angry or bad response back, mm-hmm. they're going to be like, oh. And then they do it again, they get an angry or bad response back. And they keep doing it until they're like, why am I doing this? Because all I'm going to get is a bad or angry response.
Honesty back. Is apparently not the best policy because people freak out at me when I'm honest with them.
Now, I've got another side to that. Now, there is no need for anger, no need for anything like that. But on the first date, a man is playing the role of their dating profile. So they're being the best version that they can be. Okay. But then to go on that date and then get a message just saying, oh yeah, don't want to see you again. If that keeps happening to them, they're going to get annoyed by that because they're like, what's wrong with me? Because I'm being the best person I can be.
And I recognise the frustration, for sure. Like, if you are somebody who's been knocked back or rejected a few times, for sure there will be some disappointment and some frustration. But I just don't think that it's ever appropriate to be rude to somebody because you don't like their what they have had to say. Is, you know, presuming that the person has said, I don't want to see you again in a way that is respectful,
mm-hmm.
I really, you can be disappointed, but you don't have to take that out on the person or voice that to the person. And I think what I've also experienced is people trying to argue with me about it. So, more or less trying to change my mind or convince me otherwise.
You will go on a second date with me.
No, but like, oh, but yeah, it was because of this, or like, you didn't give me a chance because of this and da-da-da. And I think, like, okay, but do you think that arguing with me is going to make me more likely to go out with you? And to be fair, that's a red flag for me because it activates my no means no thing. Like, if I have told you I don't want to do something, it's not up for negotiation. It's no. And so the whole, like, trying to convince me otherwise is totally red flag. And I have had a lot of instances, and I know other women who have, where not only does and this, again, I'm only talking about kind of heteronormative experiences because that's what I've had, but not only does the guy express anger, but actually attacks the woman in a very pointed way. So it'll be like, the woman maybe is like, thanks very much, I had a nice time, I don't think we're necessarily the right fit, so we'd, you know, not really up for a second date, but wish you all the best. And the guy is like, I don't want to see you again anyway, you stuck up bitch. Or fat, women get called fat all the time the second that they say something that a guy doesn't want to hear. There's an Instagram account I could follow, I think it's 30 something single or something like that. I'll post it. But she's a plus size girl,
mm-hmm.
and she gets so many guys who kind of fetishize her in the first place and like make out that she's lucky to have their attention because they like big girls or whatever. But the second that she kind of pushes back against anything, tells them that she feels uncomfortable, that she doesn't want to meet up, they're so quick to call her like fat cow, fat this, da da da. And it's so inappropriate and unnecessary. But the speed at which somebody can go from being nice to being venomous is mad. Like, mm-hmm. so fast.
You don't want that in your life. And that leads us to, if your date is rude to the staff, does it put you off them?
Yes.
How many people said yes?
I think 70%. No, 80%.
97% really? Said yeah. yes. Okay. This segment is called the 2020 Bin, basically the Modern Room 101. So this week, because it's just me and Liz, we've had a listener give us an entry for the bin and the reason why.
Yeah.
So that kind of leads us on to the first part of the 2020 Bin.
Go on.
Because I'm going to put something in this week.
Okay, do it.
Well, rude people. Okay. So, This isn't even about dating, but it's just rude people. And it really, really annoyed me. So on Saturday, I stopped off at Greggs. And for anyone that's not from the UK, Greggs is like a bakery that sells like amazing...
Like a delicious, trashy bakery. If you want a steak bake, go to Greggs.
Yes. You might burn your mouth, but never mind. So I was queuing up. Woman in front of me. She just finished. This couple comes in. And literally shouts to the person behind the counter, "Oh, how long's your pasty's been out?" or something like that. And she was like, about an hour. And then they were like, "Oh, yeah, it's going to be cold then." And literally having this full-blown conversation. So I had my orange juice that I had and went and stood by the counter. And the woman was so apologetic. She was like, "Oh, I thought you lot were together." And I says, "No, it's not your fault." "Oh, no problem, no issue, it's fine." Ordered my thing. Anyway, she apologised again. I says, no, it's not your fault. No, it's fine. And anyway, as I was walking off, the guy says, "Oh, yeah, have a good day then, mate." And I was like, "You are a fucking beep." Yeah. And,
just,
you know.
Just people who, are, like, make things unnecessarily awkward or difficult or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So and
just be polite to people. Just give people a break, huh?
So, yeah, I think that's going in the bin, right?
100%. Do you know what else, just on that? So
yeah.
For me, it's not even necessarily about whether somebody's actively rude or not, because obviously for me, it's fairly needless to say that if somebody's like actively rude, then it's a no. But also kind of what I'm looking for in a person is somebody who's very positive and enthusiastic and kind of has a lot of... I know, kind of optimistic. Like, I really love positivity in another person, and I'm a very kind of human person. Like, human connection means a lot to me. And what I also find kind of off-putting is when somebody treats somebody else in a very transactional way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mean that when you go out for dinner, you have to like make best mates with the waitress. But do you know how it's hard to explain what I mean? But when people speak to people in a way that is very transactional and very like you are doing a job for me kind of a thing, without any kind of just recognition that they're also a human being going about their work sort of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, manners cost nothing and manners maketh the man, as Kingsman said.
Indeed.
So rudeness is going in the bin, but we're going to bounce back out for the second one, and this got sent in by a listener.
Okay.
So we will decide on this. The word and meaning behind situationships. Would you like the Urban Dictionary meaning of situationships?
Yes, please.
Urban Dictionary. Let's chill, have sex, and being confused on the fact that we're not together but have official emotions for each other. Him and I are in a situationship.
Okay, so it's like a step up from friends with benefits, from what I can understand. Mm-hmm. It's not a relationship, but it's something a bit more than friends with benefits, in that there is some kind of connection or some kind of exchange of emotions. Is that fair?
Now, what she has put, she's put the culture of situationships and or taking... talking stage has replaced dating. So it used to be you date someone before getting into a relationship, but now you have to be in a situationship prior to dating and then a relationship. It's like all of a sudden a man's world when casual wins and there are more barriers to get through.
So how can you be in a situationship before dating? Like, for me, a situationship is never going to turn into dating, because the whole point is you don't want to be in a relationship with each other, because if you did, you would be.
No, I'm a bit confused by that, because for me... that sounds like somebody that, I don't know, it's casual.
Yeah. So I feel like this is maybe a bigger problem. Because I think what can happen often is that there is a misunderstanding about what a situation is. Mm-hmm. And the reason for this is as follows. People say certain things about what they're looking for. And then people behave in a certain way, right? And mm-hmm. I feel like quite often what can happen, and I've seen this with a lot of girl mates particularly, is that a guy, stereotypically, says they're only looking for something casual, they're not looking for a relationship. And then the girl is like, oh, but we hang out, you know, he's saying he just wants friends with benefits, but when we're together, he will, like, stroke my hair or talk about his family or da-da-da, and so he can't just want something casual, right? Because he does those things. And this, every time I'm like, oh my God, this recipe for dessert. And this actually happened to me in reverse. So last summer, I met somebody. He was lovely. I said, I'm literally just out of a relationship, like less than a month at this point. I'm not ready for a relationship. I really don't want a relationship. We can go on some dates. We can do whatever. But I'm really not ready for a relationship. And he sent me flowers after our first date, which I was like, okay, that's a lot, but also you can't be mad about that, right? Like you can't be angry about it. So I was like, okay, fine. And then I mean he's really nice guy, like in normal circumstances would have been exactly what I was looking for, but we had a couple of dates, like we hung out a bit, etc. And I kind of felt like he was trying to relationship me, and I kept saying, I'm really not ready for a relationship. I really only want something casual. And I actually said, we had a date and he like stroked my hair or did something. And I literally said to him afterwards, please don't stroke my hair. It makes, don't get me wrong. I love having my hair stroked. It makes me like purr. but that made me feel uncomfortable because that's very relationshipy for me. It's too intimate. It's too tender. And I've been really clear about that not being what I'm looking for. And in the end, it just kind of imploded because it was almost as if he could hear what I'm saying, but he's completely ignoring it.
To try and get to that next stage, which he's never going to get to.
And maybe I could have been, you know, maybe I tolerate, you know, I think there was one day I was maybe not feeling well or something, and he came round and cooked for me. And maybe I should have just not ever let that happen, because maybe that was me allowing something that was too relationshipy. But if you've clearly said you don't want a relationship, like, I feel like people really need to listen to what people are saying and not just assume what they want to assume based on their behaviour. And I do think that that's what happens a lot when friends with benefits or situationships go wrong. The guy has probably told you he doesn't want a relationship and you've chosen not to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really harsh. Mm-hmm. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And it sounds really harsh, but people say what their intentions are. You can't then ignore that.
It's if someone's being honest with you and telling you straight away what they want and you don't want the same thing, then it's not going to work.
Go out.
Separate ways.
And I also think there is probably a slightly optimistic or romanticised view that you can evolve a friends with benefits or situationship into a relationship. That, you know, eventually they'll decide that they're actually in love with you. In my experience, this almost never happens. If it was going to be a relationship, it would have been a relationship from the start. And what happens in the situationship or friends with benefits is just always one person is more invested and that person will always get hurt. And this happened to me years ago. So I met a guy, we had a lovely first date, we had something casual, and then he wanted more, and I was like, it's just not for me. Happy to keep hanging out, but you need to know what this is. And then unfortunately the tide turned, and then I wanted something more, by which time he didn't. And then he basically was like, oh, you know, we can still hang out, but we shouldn't, you know, hook up anymore. Let's just be friends. And I kidded myself that we could still just be friends, which you can't really be mates with somebody you slept with, in my opinion. And then he met the love of his life and got married. But it was always going to be casual. Like, if it starts off on a casual foot, there is very little chance of it ever becoming more than casual.
No. And that's the thing. It's like we always say, the three things that you can do whatever the hell you like as long as everybody's happy with the situation, everyone consents, and everybody knows the potential outcome.
Yeah. So, and if you stated the potential outcome and somebody's still in it and then they get hurt, I don't know, I feel like this is like a really tough love segment and I didn't mean it to be that way.
No, like if somebody has said they just want casual and you're like under the impression that I'm going to change their mind, I'm going to change something, then do you know what? There's no sympathy because they told you at the start. You should listen, take it in and go...
And And that doesn't take away the fact that people are hurt. Like, I genuinely get that people are genuinely... Like, this, the guy that sent the flowers, he was genuinely really hurt, and, like, we had to completely cut all contact because he was really hurt. And he literally messaged me and said, you know, I really fell hard for you. And I was like, we went on 4 dates. I don't know what you want me to say.
He had his ring ready, Liz. He had the ring ready.
It was wild, and I felt really bad because he was really genuinely hurt. But I don't know how I could have stopped that from happening, because he was just so determined to make a relationship out of something that wasn't going to be a relationship.
So instead of putting situationships in it, yeah, because let's face it, you got loads of different types, but it starts at casual, it ends relationship, and then you got loads of little things in the middle. Why don't we put in the fact that people need to listen and understand if somebody says something? Yeah, don't go against that. Don't go, oh yeah, maybe I can change their mind. I think that's what we're,
well, maybe they don't really mean that. Yeah. Rebecca Bartlett from Dating Bites posted something the other day, which was like, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them.
Well, I posted something about the red flag.
Oh, there we go.
And then she commented on it.
Yeah, but it's exactly that. Like, if somebody's telling you what they want, don't be mad when that's what they want.
Yeah, because it's a reason. They stated clearly at the start, either they've got red flags or they want a casual. And then if it gets to the point at the end of it,
yeah,
and you complain about the red flag that they said, they'll be like, well, I told you at the start. You know, it's kind of like a, I told you about it. So
and look, this is more complicated, because there are other situations where this plays out. For example, let's take an entirely hypothetical and not at all based on reality situation, where at the start of a relationship, two people have a conversation about marriage, and somebody says let's say both parties say they wouldn't want to get married. And then they fall madly in love, and one of the people decides that they do want to get married. You kind of can't, like, the person who doesn't want to get married and still doesn't want to get married, in fairness, set out their stall at the beginning of the thing.
Yep.
So it's really hard. And I know that this happens a lot with kids, you know, people who both say they don't want kids, and then one partner decides that they do want kids. And the partner who hasn't changed their mind is like, well, I did say...
Just state that, like, at the start, but on that,
it doesn't mean that it's not difficult or hurtful.
It can change the other way, where people say that they want kids and then all of a sudden change their mind partway through, and it's like, you spent 4 years together with this person expecting to have kids at some point, and then no, it's complicated. But we are going to put in the point of, if somebody says that they exactly what they want at the start, and it's different to what you want, and you decide not to listen, then
don't sign up for something which isn't what you want.
No. So cancel that subscription and move on.
Yeah. Said with love and hugs.
Yes. We love you all. We do. But sometimes you need tough love.
Tough love. Sorry, guys.
Dating disasters.
This segment is called Dating Disasters because, let's face it, we've all had them. And this week, because it's me and Liz, it's either one of ours or one of yours. And if you want to send one in, then you know what to do.
So, dating disasters, Liz.
Oh, let's move
straight onto the dating disaster.
Okay, so this
you
want
to tell it?
Yeah, I do. So this is one that came from a friend of mine. It came up.
Remain anonymous.
Yes,
or he's going to
remain anonymous. So, she. This had been a few years ago. She described herself as in her prime. She was like late 20s, loving life, like it was all good. And she went out on this date with a guy, I think they went to a bar, and he said, like, oh, I'm going to go to the bar. What do you want? And she said, oh, I'll have a glass of white wine. And he held out his hand and went, oh, okay, that'll be probably, what, about £5? And she was like, okay. So, and this will be now, oh, I don't know, about 8 years ago, when people still carried cash. So she, like, got some cash out of her pocket and gave it to him and was like, this is all right, whatever. Like, she kind of, when she's explaining to me, she's like, I don't mind paying, but, like, can we settle it at the end? Like, we literally met 5 minutes before and you're putting your hand out, like, thrusting your hand out at me to demand that I hand you a fiver.
I'll take a deposit for the state, please.
So, basically, they had a couple of drinks, which, you know, that she gave him cash for every time he ordered. And then towards the end of the date, I think they decided to go home, and she said, I'm going to get a cab. And he was like, oh, could we share a cab? Like, can you drop me off on the way? And she was like, well, okay. And it's not really in the same direction, but whatever. So they got in a cab, and he goes, since you cut this date quite short, can we just stop at the shop for me to get some tinnies? And she's like, right. So the taxi, which now has both of them in, stops at a supermarket while he goes into the supermarket to buy some cans of lager. So the meter obviously is ticking up this whole time. He comes out with his tinnies, gets back in the cab, and they drop him off at his house. At which point, he gets out of the cab and goes, okay, bye, and walks into his house.
What?
Without any offer to pay for the cab. So she has spent her whole evening handing him the exact change for her glasses of wine. And then he racks up this massive taxi bill and just walks off into the sunset.
I'd be like, excuse me,
mate, the meter says 21 quid.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
So then, even better than this, he contacts her afterwards when she says she doesn't want to meet up again and is like, oh, I don't think the amount that you gave me quite covered your wines. And she's like, what the image I've got of this guy, like, walking out of Sainsbury's with his bag of lagers is amazing. But to ask somebody reach into their pocket every time you go to order a drink from the bar, then not pay for the cab, and then have the audacity to argue about whether what they paid was right is just I loved it.
I'm just speechless. Yeah. That's like, what?
And I also feel, I don't know, like, with the money situation, I get that people have different approaches to money. So I tend to have a kind of, like, oh, it'll be all right kind of approach to money. Like, round up or down, you shout this one, I'll shout the next one. And I recognise that that's not everybody's approach. Some people are very careful, and they really look after, they know exactly where each penny is going, and they have probably many very impressive spreadsheets to control their budget. But I kind of feel like at the point where the counting the pennies becomes a barrier in the relationship building, that's when it becomes really awkward. And I get that some people, because of their circumstances, have to be more careful. At the same time, if that's the case, don't get a cab, drive, don't go for alcoholic drinks. Like, there are lots of options available for dating.
Yeah, I completely agree. And
so now I'm going to have to start taking cash out in case somebody demands I hand them a fiver when they want to go to the bar.
Most places don't accept cash at the moment, though, do they? It's like COVID currency.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Back to the questions.
Where am I? Who are you people?
So again, it's just me and Liz talking, as before. But we wanted that little jingle to get in your head. And if you still haven't gone to the toilet, then you're still too late. So, this question.
Oh, God.
Have you ever offered to pay with no intention of paying? Now, I've got the numbers and I've got the percentages.
Okay. I actually think that quite a few people have, but I think that not many people would be brave enough to admit it.
What, on the anonymous post?
Yeah. No, seriously, I think that a lot of people would be like, no, I would never do that, but might actually do that. But I respect the people who are brave enough to admit that they have done that, to be fair.
Yeah. How many? We've got 107 people that have voted on this.
I'm going to say about 10%.
10%. Close. It's 20. 20 people said yes.
Wow. That is quite a lot, isn't it?
It did really infuriate me. I was like, what? So what are you going to do if the guy... Because, okay, so all of the people that voted yes are women, a female. They voted yes. Now, I'm presuming, I may be wrong, but I'm guessing they're in heteronormative dating men. Now, with me, is this a kind of like, oh, I'm going to expect them to pay. I'm not going to pay, but I'm going to offer anyway. And it's, is it taking into that account of the guy should always pay route again?
Yeah. And well, it's, and also, well, it's kind of the, because the likelihood of the guy insisting on paying is so high, it means that you offer to pay, so you look good, but you know you're probably not going to actually have to deliver on it. And I think that's part of the problem, is this, like, like, if you've got no intention of paying, don't offer to pay, because at least somebody knows what they're signing up for, right?
But the thing with me is, a guy isn't going to, most of the time, me, I would not turn around and go, if someone offered to pay, I wouldn't turn around and go, okay, you know, after I've just said,
exactly, and that's what people are banking on. Yeah. Is that you can offer and the guy won't actually take you up.
But guys, we should change this. We should change this. So any men listening out there, we should change this. If someone offers to pay half, we take that offer and we call them out on it, because if it's one of these 20 people.
But also, it's not just about calling them out on it. It's also about respecting their choices, because that's why I get so angry, is if a guy offers to pay and I say, no, it's cool, we'll split it, and he insists on paying, then he is not respecting my choices. So don't insist on paying if a woman says they want to pay, A, because they might be bluffing, but B, because if she wants to pay, let her pay.
Yeah, yeah. I feel it's society again, isn't it? And do you know what? I haven't said this on the last episode. It was Disney.
We're overdue.
Fuck society.
Fake.
Oh. Now, that being said, let's go to the fluffy stuff.
Okay.
The fluffy stuff, which the question was, 4 dates plus, realistically, what would be your perfect date or an amazing date?
So you've already been on like 4 dates.
4 dates, yeah. So the awkward stages, the coffee, everything like that have gone out the window. But I did put realistic, so someone didn't say, oh, I want to fly to the Maldives for a weekend or something like that.
Not that that would have been nice.
You knew that had happened.
Yeah. I would say going somewhere. Like, let's go to the seaside and get fish and chips. Or let's take a trip to a city that we haven't been to before, or something like that. Because I feel like it's nice to get a change of scenery, and the being in the car gives you quite a good opportunity to get to know each other, but it's not too flashy.
Yeah, do you know what? A lot of people said barbecue on the beach, or a visit to the coast, or fish and chips, or a picnic somewhere with amazing views. There was a lot of beach. So I'm guessing most of these were from like the UK.
Well, this is not great when you live in Nottingham, which is like ultra landlocked.
Yeah. Someone did say a shag.
I like their honesty. Well, after I said go to the beach and have fish and chips, I was like, or stay in and get an Indian takeaway. but I think it's nice to go somewhere. And about date four or five is when I would then consider also doing something like, I don't know, going paddleboarding or kayaking or something like that. That's a bit more like a doing a thing together. Like for me, 4 dates is about the right amount. 4 or 5 dates about the right amount in to do something physical together.
Yeah, there was a lot of adventurous activities as well, which was quite cool. Someone well known to the show put going on a fifth.
A what?
Guess. Someone put going on a fifth.
Oh, date. Fifth. Wayne. Yeah. It's got to be Wayne.
Yes.
it's such a smart ass.
Yeah, someone put personally IKEA and B&M.
I mean, I love IKEA. I would love a trip to IKEA, but somebody might be put off by my, I get really overexcited in IKEA.
Yeah, but if you can get round IKEA without an argument. No, this isn't true, because my relationship haven't lasted and I've been round IKEA without arguments. So.
But also, I do think there is a risk, and I'm just going to flag this risk, because we were talking just now about situationships.
Yep.
The risk is, if you go to IKEA, you're going to end up like, do you remember the film 500 Days of Summer?
Yes.
And they end up doing this almost like playing house thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's fine if you're both on the same page about what you want, but this is the kind of high-risk scenario where if it's casual, that you could run into trouble, because now you're going to be imagining the future where you live together and have tiny babies running around, and the guy is like, no, this is just casual. This is exactly the kind of high-risk scenario for over-romanticising a future with somebody who just wants something casual.
I mean, I even do that when I go in IKEA on my own. I'm like, yes, I could live in that room.
I'm going to live in this tiny 3 square feet apartment, and it's going
to
be awesome.
How amazing would it be to live in IKEA, though? You could have, like, a different bedroom every day, and when you're off to work, you know, that's when the store opens, come back at night, and apart from the toilets don't work. That's the only issue.
Yeah, and I feel like meatballs are delicious, but I wouldn't want to eat them every day.
Oh, the IKEA meatballs. Mm. Do you know what? I want to go to IKEA now.
Yeah, I was just literally thinking that. What have I got on this afternoon? Oh, my God, to IKEA.
Should we go to IKEA? Right.
Do you know, Phil, we've missed a thing. I feel like there's just one final thing that we need to talk about before we move on to final thoughts.
Okay.
What do you wear on a first date? We've talked about a lot of dating etiquette, but I feel like we've missed a major question about what to wear on a first date, because this is big decision time.
So, personally, recently, I called up my fashion expert, Liz, who I run to the shops and, like, what do I buy? What do I buy? What
do
I buy?
That was such a fun day. I was like, right, look for this, but not like this, but one like this.
Yeah. So, literally, I went to Meadowhall, like, halfway, well, literally an hour before a date. And was running around Meadowhall.
Phil sent me a copy of it, a photo of his outfit, and he was like, what do you think? I'm like, yeah, I like this and this, but maybe a different t-shirt. So he then went on like a Challenge Annika style shopping trip to try and find one in time for the date.
So I think it's got a lot about where you're going. Mm. And maybe you kind of go, well, it depends on the place that you pick. Really. So if you're going to quite a nice restaurant, which probably you won't do on a first date, because we're saying go away from that, because it's quite expensive, and
it's a lot of expectation.
Yeah. So, you know, I would rather be like casual, smart casual, like halfway in between. Just, you know, t-shirt, jumper, jeans, or...
I feel like in this respect, men do have it a bit easier than women. Because I feel like most of men's dressing is kind of variations on a theme. Like, if you go somewhere really smart, you can wear some trousers and a shirt. If you go somewhere really casual, you can wear a really quite similar pair of trousers and a t-shirt. Like, there are not that many variables. Whereas the difference between a woman's casual and a woman's dressed up feels to me like it's much bigger, right? So, for example, I live in jeans. I almost never, ever, ever wear a skirt or a dress. Like, it just doesn't happen. I live in jeans, usually with, like, massive holes in the knees, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we are going somewhere that's smart casual, what the fuck am I going to wear? Because I can't wear my really holy jeans and a t-shirt.
Jeans without holes in them?
I probably do own one pair of jeans without holes in them. But do you know what I mean? There are a lot more variables. And if we're going somewhere a bit nicer, what? I can't wear jeans, so what am I going to wear then? I don't want to... So, do you know what I mean? I feel like it's
really
just more
complex.
The funny
thing about this is I have quite a lot of women that message our account basically saying, right, I've got these two options. Do I go for the tight jeans, which I look amazing in, but they're really uncomfortable, and as soon as I get home, I am going to rip them off? Or do I go for the not-so-nice-looking jeans that are, like,
Mum
really
jeans.
Comfortable, but, you know, they're not going to show my figure as well as I want them to? And, yeah, I'm like...
You've become the what-to-wear... expert, huh? For women.
But I have no clue. I'm like, do you know what? Send the photos, let me see. I'll tell you which one looks better. Not in a non-pervy way. It's non-pervy way, by the way. It's straightforward.
Is
it's like
it?
Let's see which you look better in.
Okay. But do you get my point? Like, it's just a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
And I also feel like there is a bit of a pitfall for women where, obviously, you know, a guy can mostly shower, do his hair, chuck some deodorant on, clothes on, ready to roll. For a woman, for a woman getting ready for a date can be like 2 hours, because you have to like do all the things. And then I feel like then that creates this really unmanageable sense of expectation. Because if I've spent, you know, an hour and a half getting ready for a date, which seems like an inordinate amount of time, but by the time you've showered, dried your hair, put on your makeup, painted your nails, blah, 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 plucked your eyebrows, whatever. I feel like then you get on the date, and if you aren't interested in somebody, the disappointment is amplified by how much effort has gone into getting ready. And I also feel like then the difference between who you are kind of every day and who you are being on the date also gets bigger, and that's probably not a good thing. So when I was still dating, I was trying to train myself out of this whole getting ready ritual and just be like, okay, well, I showered earlier, so I'm probably fine. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to do this whole start from scratch as if I'm going out on a big night out thing. No. This is just a date. I can just be who I am. I've been at work all day being a normal human. I can continue to just be that person in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I say, at the end of the day, if you're going to get in a relationship with this person, you are going to see them in...
They're going to see me with no face on.
With your lobster...
With my lobster pajamas and my milk bottle glasses and my retainers. They're going to see that sooner or later. I'm not going to lead with it. But at the same time, do you know what I mean? Like, this whole culture of women putting on, like, 6 inches of makeup and having to feel like they need to be a certain way to present themselves and be good enough for society. I'm just not up for it. I just can't be bothered, really.
No, just... I think you should go what you feel comfortable in, what makes you feel good, and at the end of the day, it's about how you feel. It's not about how they feel about looking at you.
Does that mean that from here on I have permission to turn up to a date in holy jeans and a grey t-shirt?
If that's what you want to do, because that's what they're going to see in the future.
That's pretty much what every day for the rest of my life is going
to
look like.
We've got a long time to talk about this, haven't we? It's like, I haven't even checked the amount of days. Like, I'm slacking.
Oh, so what am I on? I'm 3.5 months in. So I've got 8.5 months left.
Carry on talking, I'll get the exact
It's long, Phil. We both know that it's long, and I have a long time to figure this out. But I also think it kind of depends on, like, how the other person is. Like, if, for example, if you know the other person's really, like, active and sporty, then maybe you would feel less pressure to dress up than if you know that somebody, like, I don't know, works in Canary Wharf and wears a suit every day and is really, you know, like, goes to really fancy places.
Yeah, but when it's non-COVID, I wear suits a lot. I wear suits, and do you know what? Suits are great. They make me feel good, but I don't really like wearing them all the time, going on dates. And I went on a date in a suit once, and I just felt really overdressed.
Yeah, and it makes it quite formal, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Now, another point, because we're getting on to all this dating etiquette, we might as well cover all of it, haven't we? Like, every single bit. Well, maybe not. Being late and on time. So, massive, massive bugbear for me when people turn up late. Like, for me, you know, all right, some things may stop you, like the taxi's late or something like that, or transport or stuff like that, but just drop a quick message. I've had it before where I've been on dates and literally we said, oh, we'll meet at 7. About 7:15, they rock up and it's like, hi. And it's like, hi. No apology, nothing. Just like, that's the normal. And it's like, you've just wasted 15 minutes of my time. You know, so I understand people can be late, but if you know you're a person that is always late for everything, always late, start a bit earlier.
Like, no, it doesn't work. Just doesn't work. I've tried it. No, seriously, I'm quite a late person. And there's a couple of things I have to say here, is that I'm quite a late person. I don't sound like I'm making excuses, but obviously I've talked on a previous show about part of that being maybe to do with mental health reasons. But part of it isn't. Part of it is just I'm just really fucking late. And however long I leave, it's still not enough time, because I feel like it comes from a place of optimism where I'm like, oh yeah, that'll only take 5 minutes, but it actually takes 15. But I haven't learned that. But also I know that I would not suit being in a relationship with somebody who's very time conscious,
mm-hmm.
because I would stress them out, because I know that I'm a late person. So I just can't and shouldn't be in a relationship with somebody who's really fastidious about time.
Yeah.
So I had I've mentioned before a guy that I was seeing before my date for a year, who is really lovely, really delightful. And we had what we called Liz time. So as I've said, we were in a bubble, and I'd be like, I'd say like, what time do you want me to come over? And he'd say, oh, 7:30. And I'd be like, great, so that's 8 p.m. Liz time, right? And I would turn up probably somewhere around 8, maybe a bit before, maybe a bit after, and be like, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm late. And he's like, you're not late, it's 8 p.m. Liz time, it's fine. and he was completely fine with it. And that was really important for me, because I don't want to spend my whole life apologizing to somebody.
No.
I would like to be with somebody who knows that I just need a bit of flexibility around time, yeah. and that's okay. But I think it's to do with compatibility. Like, if you're somebody for whom timing is very important, you need to find somebody for whom timing is also important. And I need to find somebody who's willing to be very flexible. It's the same as what we were talking about earlier with money. Mm-hmm. If you're somebody who likes to know to the two decimal points what something costs and get your exact change, you wouldn't be a good match for me, because I'm more like, I'll just round it up to the nearest fiver kind of a person. And that would probably stress you out. And I don't want to spend my life with somebody who I have to feel guilty for who I am about.
No.
Just one last thing. I'm really tidy at home. Like, everything is like... just so in my house, because that makes me feel calm. Mm. I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with somebody who's untidy, A, because it would stress me out, but B, because I would feel like they couldn't relax. And I want somebody I'm in a relationship with to be able to relax. And if they're constantly thinking, shit, Liz is going to be mad at me because I've left my stuff everywhere, that's not going to work as a relationship, is it?
See, I've quoted someone's time zone before for them. So I've always said, knew that they would be like half an hour late or something like that. So I would always go, oh yeah, I've booked it for 7:30, knowing that I've really booked it for 8:00, but knowing that they'd be late. And that was fine, because I knew in my head that they would turn up on time.
And I think the key thing is, as long as it's actually fine.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing is being in a... not the worst, there's lots of worse things, but a bad thing is being in a relationship with somebody and thinking everything's okay, and then finding out respectively that something you're doing is driving them nuts. This has happened to me before in a number of relationships where I have not been aware that there's a problem. And then, for example, during an argument, somebody goes, well, you always, like, whatever, leave your cup by the bed. And I'm like, what? What? If it was a problem, talk to me about it. If it's not, don't bring it up. And now I need to feel self-conscious every time I... Do you know what I mean?
Like, honesty, communication.
Be okay with it or don't, but don't pretend you're okay with it if you're not.
No. And on that note, I think we've covered everything. Well, most things.
I think so.
Yeah. I think people have got the gist, so...
Final thoughts.
So because it's just me and Liz, it's just our final thoughts. What we thought of the show, what we thought we spoke about, and what we'll take away from it. And also, we'll let you know what's happening in next week's show. So enjoy. Liz.
My final thoughts are about the importance, A, of open communication. So say what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say what you don't mean, and don't not say what you do mean, but also listen to the other person, because the other person can say what they mean till they're blue in the face, but if you're not listening, you're not going to get anywhere. So it sounds cliche, but communication is really important, and it runs both ways, and it requires willingness to be honest and willingness to listen without and listening to understand, not listening to react.
No, I completely agree with that one. And I think you've covered it all in that. So, my final thought is that the people that are listening to this episode, thank you, because by the time you probably listen to it, we've probably hit 2,500 downloads.
Oh my gosh! That's crazy. Yeah.
currently we're on 2485. Whoa. Let's get that right. And yeah, by the time you guys have listened to this episode, we'll be on 2,500 downloads.
That is wild.
And we've just celebrated, well, by the time you listen to this episode, we would have just celebrated our 2-month anniversary.
Ah, so, happy anniversary, Belle.
Yeah, like, literally, we're on the 3rd at the moment. On the 5th is our 2-month anniversary, and you guys will be listening to this on the 7th. Yeah.
Yeah. So wish us happy retrospective anniversary. That's so. Can you believe we've got nearly 2,500 downloads in less than 2 months? That's bananas.
Exactly. It's just blown my mind. And like
really
I say,
has.
We couldn't do it without you guys. But we're just going to ask that a little bit more, like we always do. So do you know what? We love it when we hear that somebody's been recommended to the podcast. Like, seriously, it's like, oh, wow. So if you want to speak to friends, family, anyone like that, and just say, listen, you might want to take a listen to this, you know? Not every episode might be for them. Some episodes might not be. But do you know what? Give it a listen. And because that's the only way we're going to grow, word of mouth, really. People telling other people about it. And it doesn't matter whether you're in a relationship, because we have plenty of people that listen that are in relationships that absolutely love it, because... Yeah. At the end of the day, they're like, I'm so glad that I don't have to go through that.
Yeah. And they're like, wow, how the other half live. But I also feel like if you're in a relationship and you've got single friends or single siblings, it can be really helpful to actually understand what they're going through and what they're, you know, what challenges they face. Because it can be really hard when you're dating and everyone else is in the relationship, because it kind of feels like no one understands. And I know that a lot of people who listen who are in a relationship say that it actually helps them identify more and connect more with their single friends, because they can be a bit more empathetic about what the experience is like.
Yeah, definitely. Now, on to the next show.
Exciting, exciting.
A special guest, Charlie Lester. Now, Charlie used to be the dating editor for The Guardian. She was also the former founder of Lumen, which is a dating app for over 50s. And she also appeared as a final judge on The Apprentice.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to... Oh, also, she did 30 dates before 30. So she did, I think it was the month before her 30th birthday, and she did 30 dates.
Oh my God, that sounds exhausting. So, that's like the opposite of what I'm doing.
About.
That's awesome.
We've got loads to talk about.
We're really looking forward to having Charlie on the show. She's going to be talking particularly about something that I know a lot of people care a lot about, which is safety with dating. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be an episode that's going to be really important, particularly as things open up and people start going on dates, to really help people with a kind of peace of mind about safety with dating.
Yeah, especially because Tinder... Match Group are bringing out background checks, which we're going to chat about, because I've got some few things I want to talk about on that one. So yeah, but thank you for listening to this episode. A bit longer again, but never mind. Like, we've been getting messages like, can you do more than one a week? I'm like, not at the moment.
When are we going to fit it in? Unless we've got somebody volunteering to do all the editing, then no.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone wants to edit, just give us a shout. But yeah, again, thank you very much. And yeah, okay. Goodbye.
See you next week.
See you next week, and take care. Bye.
And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, then you can do, whether that's to submit a dating disaster, ask a question, or ask for some advice. We're not that good at helping, but one of our guest experts will certainly be able to. So if you'd like to get in touch, head on over to our socials.
On Facebook and Instagram, it's at Unhinged and Bumbled Up.
On Twitter, it's at Bumbled Up.
Or by email, it's unhinged.and.bumbledup@gmail.com.
If you liked the episode, then please don't forget to like and share, and click the follow button above.
We also now have a website, www.uabu.co.uk. See you all next week.